you know the Lord touched him. And last week he was operating on his brain in the hospital, and I'm going to operate on it some more today. Anyway, we're glad he's home. We missed him. Keep praying for him. He's got another surgery to go through. In a couple of months, they found another aneurysm on the other side. So they're going to probably, unless the Lord, wouldn't it be good if they'd take an x-ray and say, that thing's gone? How many of you believe that's possible?
Oh, yeah.
I do. Hallelujah. It gives us time to petition God for that. All right. Let's have church today.
Thank you. closest friend in life, oh, is pulling away. He'll hold you too.
God is good to us, and I'm thankful to be found in the house of God today and be a part of God's people, and knowing that, appreciate that song, Sister Jody, that, you know, when you put things in perspective, consider God and how great He is, and sometimes you think how insignificant, you know, you are, I am, and but God does know about us. He's very much aware of us, and I'm thankful for that. That helps me a lot of times when you face things in life and you don't understand what's going on, and talk to people and you wish you could fix their problems, and you know you can't. But then I fall back on the thoughts that I know God is aware of our every situation. He is aware of it, but He does ask, you know, His people, you know, He want us to, you know, to remember our brothers and sisters and to acknowledge, you know, that, you know, bring their names before the Lord. You know, I don't know, I guess He could help them if we didn't, but I think it works better when we bring our brothers and sisters' name before God, and I think it helps not only the person that you're acknowledging about to God about, but it helps us. It helped, you know, that's part of how I work. You know, how the God allowed me to work with Him is to if I don't consider my brother, then, you know, how can you say you love God if you don't love your brother? You know, if you say you love God and hate your brother, then you know, you're really wasting time. So that's what this is all about. You know, we get help, you know, through helping other people. You know, I listen to Brother Brett out on Friday night. You know, sometimes you don't always know what you're doing is, how much benefit is happening in what you're doing, but you have to keep doing that. You have to keep allowing God to help, let you be, you know, be used of God, and to make yourself available to God, because this God don't tell you everything. You know, He don't always give you the outcome of what you're asking Him, what you're seeking Him for. I think of Abraham often, you know, about, you know, he was praying for Lot. He knew Lot was down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, and those angels told him, you know, we're going to destroy that place. You know, and they, you know, he dealt with him and bargained with him, got the number down to 10, but he was concerned about Lot. And I question people. I said, do you think Abraham ever knew what happened to Lot? You know, he prayed for him. We know, we read the scripture and we read, you know, what happened. You know, we're blessed to be able to see that. But I don't know if Abraham ever had that opportunity. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, he was praying for him. And that's what I'm thinking, you know, in my heart today, is that I'm going to keep praying, you know, for God's people and their needs. You know, I may not see the results. You know, I might not see what they are asking God to help them with. I may not see that they got them. But I want to keep praying for them, because I know God knows our situation. God is aware. You know, He's aware of our every need. And I don't know what they said. Somebody mentioned the foolishness of preaching. You know, it's not foolish preaching, but it's the foolish. It just, you know, that's how God works. You know, He wants us to, you know, do what we do. You know, that don't mean, you know, because it's in God's power anyway. You know, he's the one that's in control. So I just do my part. My wife showed me this scripture, and you know, you serving God, and you know, you're talking about the time frame and perfection and overcoming. And the scripture, and it's in Acts 13:36, I believe, it talks about David served his generation, his own generation, and basically that's all we can do, is actually serve God in the time that God gives us. You know, I can't, you know, I'm not promised tomorrow. I don't know. I like to be here when the church is restored to see a white stone judgment in operation, but you know, as I live, you know, this life that I have now, I may not see that, but I can rest assured, you know, that God's word, that He's going to do what He said He will do. And I just want to keep faithful to God. You know, just stay with God. You know, stay with the program. Stay with what God is doing. because, everything will work out okay. And I'm just so thankful. I get concerned like everybody else. I've got a big family and they have problems and I have a burden for them and I try to do what I can. You can only do what you can. And we need to carry a burden too. That don't mean the burden's going to be lifted, but just carry your burden. But let God help you with it. Begin to talk to God about it. Sometimes you can get a little peace with that. Sometimes you may not at times, but just begin to. If you're going to get any peace about it, then it's going to be through God. That's what I'm finding out. That's where the peace is going to come from. And I appreciate that today, that we a servant of God that will help us. And that's what this song is saying. He will help you. And I just want to try to and then recognize, that this is God. Sometimes when you, like I think Brother Smith was talking about, one of the men in the Bible that was going through some things. When he realized, Paul he was talking about, but when he realized that God, he was trying to pray to God or give him some help with this thorn that was in his flesh and this thing that was bothering him. But he found out, God told him, he's not going to heal him of this and he's not going to deliver him of this. He's going to have to carry this. But he recognized and realized that it was God that was doing this. And if we can begin to recognize and realize that this is God's work, and if God is doing this, then you can get some peace about it. You can rest assured, that God is going to help you with it. So I'm so thankful today. So thankful that we can come out and begin to lift our voices and worship and praise to God and to seek Him. We do have a visitor here today, the Wilbert Williams. Good to have you today, Brother Wilbert. And I hope you... So you're reaching out some to the Lord, so that's a good thing. So anyway, I appreciate you being here. Anyway, let's see, do we have? Sister Natalie, who you got? Summer? I think she's been here before. Yeah, she's been here before. Good to have you here today, too, Summer. Who's that? Tara? Sister Tara. Good to have you here. All right. Sister Curtis got her mom here today. She's here before, but anyway. Good to have her today. All right. Brother Durham, especially, I tell you, does my heart good, brother. I see you there. See you. God's helping you. God's helping you. Hallelujah. So good. God is helping us. All right. Anybody else? Don't miss anybody. So we do have needs. So we need to pray and pray that God will help. I thank our sister, Brother Al here, Brother Smith was showing how playful he is. So his wife is not able to be here, but let's keep praying for her. Keep lifting her up before the Lord. Yes, Brother and Sister Crow. Brother Crow is not feeling well. So let's remember them today and pray that God will help them through this day. Who was it? Anybody else? I was thinking about Brother Doug and Sister Yvonne. She was calling my wife, and I accidentally answered the phone, and I thought of I got a sister that's in Tulsa visiting her children. She got some kids in Tulsa. And I recognized the 918 area code. That's why I thought it was my sister. It was Sister Yvonne. But anyway, I got to visit with her a little bit. You can't help. Your heart has to go out to God's people. They're doing okay. I talked to her a little bit and I asked her about Brother Doug. They're doing good. God is helping us. Anybody else? Any other prayer requests? Any other needs that might fill us? Too unspoken. All right, just remember that. Sister Samuel Wilson. Okay, let's remember Sister Wilson. She having some problems. Good to have her here, though. She's here. Sister McGowan. Okay. All right. We remember Brother Carl. Somebody else had a hand up. Your mother. All right, Sister Cindy, mother, pray for her. Sister Linda. You. Sister Donna, okay. Remember Sister Donna. All right. Okay.
Yes. In fact, it wouldn't probably hurt if some maybe gave Sister Donna a call. She's really discouraged right now. Also, my mother and my wife. My wife can't leave her right now, so she's missing a lot of church. And my mother is really failing. You know, we can see that she just can't. She just pretty well sleeps probably about maybe 18, 20 hours a day. You know, we just can't keep her awake. And she just so, every little thing she does just wears her out. She just, so she just really failing. So just pray. You know, she's 92 years old. She's lived a long life. But my wife, you know, she's been her caregiver now for 9 years, and so it's really wearing on her. But she don't want to give her up either. I don't either, but, you know. Anyway, pray for our situation, because it's just, it's getting to where it's, you know, I can't even be gone hardly, because she can't walk, and so somebody has to pick her up to put her in a chair, in a bed, or whatever. My wife's not able to do that.
All right. Quite a burden. All right, Sister Durham. Remember that, this young lady. All right. Okay, go ahead. Okay, remember that. All right, remember that request. All right. Sister Debbie. Christian, okay. Remember him. All right. Remember Christian. Yes, sir. Brother Adam. Remember Brother Adam. Yes. And Brother Painter told me that Brother Maine's brother-in-law, Brother Woods, okay. He's back in Fayetteville area, right? Okay. All right. So they need prayer. All right. Remember him, Brother Woods. Who was that? Brother Bass, yes. Brother Bass's family. So I'll remember them and pray. Sister Richie. Yes, that's right. Thank you. Sister Richie. She's in the hospital, right, Sister Lynette? So remember Sister Richie. You know anything on that?
Yeah, she, the last I heard, she was in the hospital.
You know what hospital is even? Okay, good to know. All right. Pray for Sister Richie and that family, church, Russellville.
Pray for our meeting.
Yes. Yes. Remember that. A lot of work to be done, too. Okay, let's just come up. We'll do the offering and remember these needs that we just mentioned, all of the different ones. And I'm sure there are a lot of unspoken requests that family members that need your prayer, need our prayers, and just remember them. So let's all stand and ask that God will bless his people, touch their needs, and just reach out to God. Father in heaven, we thank you, God. Lord, you've given us this opportunity to reach out for your people, oh God. Pray that you touch their needs today, Lord. Lord, help us that our hearts will reach out. Be open unto you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus, oh God. Glory, 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 glory. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh God, help each need. Each need, Lord. Oh, touch your people. Glory, 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 glory. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, blessed be your name, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Oh, God.
standing up. Everybody turn around and put your hand out towards Sister Karen Golden. Let's pray. God will touch her. We need her help in our meeting. She needs to get well. Oh, God, touch our sister, Lord. Touch her body today. Oh, Lamb of God. Help her, Lord. Oh, God, as you're only able to do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, touch her today, Lord. Raise her up from this condition that's hindering her. Oh, Lord, we're trusting and believing in you. Asking you for help. You're our great physician, Lord. You're our help in the time of trouble. You're our shield and our buckler. Hallelujah. Oh, God, you're our protector. You're our help in the time of need, Lord, today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we know you hear our petitions, Lord. We're thankful. We're thankful. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you. Oh, God, you're our Savior. You're our Father. You're our help. Oh, God, you're the very source of life, and we appreciate it, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. To be here today. I'm thankful for the Lord meeting with us. It'd be awful not to have church with God, wouldn't it? I mean, to have it without Him, that's what I mean. And I know the Lord at times lets us I don't know, Brother Jaron, if I have my mic on right, do I? Is it on? There it is. I know at times he lets us have church without him. I think he just withholds his presence just to see. Y'all gonna have church without me, or are y'all gonna realize that there's something different when I'm not, when I don't show up? Of course, I think we can woo him in. I think we can set an atmosphere he can't resist. I just believe that. I believe the Lord loves his children. But sometimes I think he looks down on us and says, I want to know that they know the difference. If they're having church without me, and when I'm there. And I think that he does that to teach us how to we have to learn how to blend our spirit with God's spirit. Proverbs, is it the 9th chapter where he said, wisdom has builded her house. She's hewn out her 7 pillars. That's God in Christ and a 5-fold ministry. You have to understand that there's order in the house of God. And she's killed her beast. There is going to be a beast system speak. We're not living in a time when the beast is ruling the world like it did in the days of the early church. But there is a beast system that's forming out here. and there will be a dragon power and a beast system once again. Yes, she's hewn out her seven pillars, she's killed her beast, and she hath mingled her wine. And that's what we're working on, is mingling our wine. That is, the wine represents the Spirit of God, and we're having to learn how to mingle our spirit with God's spirit. There's times when, you know, we can feel there's too much flesh. Sometimes in meetings, general meetings and conventions, there's a sometimes your minister can get up and he's got a lot of flesh to deal with, to lift it, get it up above the fleshly realm, and get people's minds girded up. That's why when we come in here, we start off with a band song. We're trying to get you up off the fleshly terra firma and the carnal realm. And I know it shouldn't be there, but we have to gird up our minds to meet with the Lord. He won't just meet with us in any condition, in any way. The Holy Ghost is depicted like a dove, and it's easy to scare one away. But if you can learn how to woo the Spirit of God, mingle, come in and try to be a part of. We're not just, you know, trying to have recreation and fun. I don't think there's anything wrong with some clean recreation, Christian recreation and fun, but when we come in here to worship God, I think we ought to gird up our minds and we're trained in ways of worshiping Him. How to locate. We call it locating the channel. Find the channel of the Spirit. What is God saying to the church? Where is the channel? It's like this song Sister Jody sang. If he holds the moon. If he hung the moon. Yeah. Some songs, just the spirit of the song. It's not the words in a song, always, that blesses, that the Spirit connects with. But then there's other songs, it's the words of the song that touches you. It's not always the words, it's what the Spirit of God is lacking, but it's the what the song is, you know, the tune of it and the feeling that it brings. That song worked both ways, the words and the feeling. I think the spirit of the song probably does more than the words, but the words get you to thinking and get you in the spirit of the feeling of the tune. Oh, I don't have any doubt that God inspired somebody to write that song, that it was inspired of the Lord. He's the one that chose that we were to, as far back as we can go, we know that God had His people gathered together in a setting that He would meet with them, that they would worship Him, and that somebody would talk about their relationship with God and their instructions of God, from God. And Paul, evidently, in the latter days of the early church, there were people that were feeling like, you know, there wasn't a need to assemble themselves together, but he told them to forsake not the assembling. God chose this setting. This is the training ground. This is where we come together. This is where God, we can always feel God's Spirit. You should. You should always feel God more in church than you do by yourself. At least until you grow to a place that you're walking in the Spirit continually. That takes time. That's why you need this here. You need this setting. You need to know how to woo God in. Yeah, I would dare say if we all came in here one day and we were prayed up and in the Spirit when we got here, there is no telling what would happen. There's no telling what God would do. And I'm sure as time goes on, we're gonna live more that way. As we get closer to it, God will come in our midst, because we'll all have our minds girded up ready to worship Him when we walk in the door. Some of the things we're working on now is exercising ourselves to get in a place where we can have fellowship with Him, you know. And that God ordained that. That's every person that comes to God new experiences that and comes in here, and most new people they're not doing anything. It's kind of like a child, you know, they're not preparing dinner, they're not even thinking about dinner, but they come to the table and eat. You know, they just, here it is. I'm expecting it. New Christians are that way. They come in, but they're not a reason why the Spirit of God is here. If everybody came in, you know, they didn't have God on their mind, they wasn't thinking about God, they're just here, you'd see it'd be pretty difficult to gird that up and have any kind of meeting with God's Spirit. But it's as we grow, and the more of us that are able to know how to locate God, find Him, and find the channel. They start out with these band songs, and our sisters playing over here on the piano. I'm convinced that's a job God's given the sisters in our day. Those that are talented and have those gifts. And I never have seen too many men very successful at it. We've got a few in the body that work in that category, but the ones that always have stood out, I've never seen a man song leader in the body that was like Sister Linegar, or some of the top ones that got over there and, you know, that God blessed. I'm not saying God can't do that, because you can't put Him in a box. I'm just saying how God works in a general sense. One thing, that's a place in the church they can work where they don't usurp authority over men. You put them in another place, if you put a woman over the band, she would have to correct and give instructions and maybe even correction to, you know, some of the men in the band. So it's a hard place for women to work if if they don't have a man to help them to keep their place. But I appreciate our song leaders, because I think God's touched every one of them, and they give us such a variety. It's like potluck sometimes. You don't know what's on the menu, but you come in here and it gives us a different mix that helps us. Same way with preachers. I don't think it's good for you just to hear one preacher all the time. I'm thankful for all these brethren up here, that these elders and their ability to hook on to the Word of God and bless us with their preaching and teaching. Our young men too, I appreciate them. I'm missing some of the, I think once in a while we're going to have another youth service in the sanctuary, so we don't miss out completely on y'all's youth services. We moved that downstairs to give y'all some liberty where you wouldn't, you know, maybe you'd have more of a liberty to express yourselves to one another, where we wasn't always looking in. But it really blessed us to look in and feel a part of what God's doing. So I think at least once in a while we need to bring that back up here, just to so we can be a part of what God's doing in your lives. And I don't mean to say that God doesn't always, you know, or that we always know how to get a hold of God. You know, it is, we was talking about this downstairs, it's a process to get God working in your life. To get God's help for you to be able to respond to God. I mentioned this morning that, you know, I'm concerned about our young people, that they have a knowledge of the Word of God, and because of the day we're living in. I think it's always important, no matter what, like Brother Talley said, David served the Lord in his generation. I guess one of the reasons I'm concerned is I feel like we're living in a in the last days of the Gentile world, and even though we don't know exactly how much time we've got left, we know that time is short. And I don't know that our young people have the time to work this out. A lot of people in the past, young people, really didn't get a hold of the things of God till they got a little older in life. My fear is that our young people aren't going to grasp it quick enough. That, you know, I'm asking God too. I'm asking God to touch y'all, to help you. I even think the young people can help us. It's still a process, learning how to respond to God. The young people come to church because your parents bring you. Most of you got the Holy Ghost because your parents brought you in here. And, you know, you may even at some point feel like that you was a victim. You know, I remember Michael there was a time in his life that I think he felt like he didn't even get to choose to church serve God. It was just expected of him. You know, he just, you know, in other words, I didn't ask him if he wanted the Holy Ghost. I took him up front and told him, you need it. You got to get it. Started praying for him. Well, he got it. He believed me enough. And the truth of the matter is, you young people have been blessed, highly blessed, among most people in the world, that you grew up in a place where it was made available to you. Where you didn't have to spend your life, you know, waiting for God to have a way to reach you or touch you, but that it was readily made available because you're a part. Your parents are part of the family of God. That song the band just played. I'm so glad somebody prayed for me. Well, you're fortunate if you ever lived somewhere where you had a mother or father that prayed for you, that lived the life before you so you could become a part of you. That still doesn't make sure that you get it. My testimony is that I grew up in Pentecostal churches, but I didn't grow up in this body. I didn't grow up with knowledge. I didn't grow up, my dad, he had a hard time. He was an alcoholic, and he had a hard time getting connected to God, but he knew he was supposed to serve him. And from time to time, my mother was a Holy Ghost woman. He knew that he was supposed to be serving God, and he made sure that us boys went to church with Mom. He forced that on us, you know, whether we wanted it or not. And then when we got big enough as teenagers, he put a law in the household. He said, if you want to go out on Friday night or Saturday night, you have to go to church with your mother on Sunday. If you don't go to church, if you don't go to church this Sunday, then don't ask me to go anywhere Friday or Saturday night next week. That was tough. And it worked. It worked. I'd go to church. I'd go out on Friday and Saturday night and do things I knew I wasn't supposed to be doing, but I was convicted about it, you know. And I knew I was going to have to go to church the next morning. That was a bad deal. But I had to go, or next weekend I'd be sitting and not doing anything with my friends. Now, of course, this is when, you know, I didn't have that example. I wasn't raised up necessarily. I mean, Mother did take us to church. And I got the Holy Ghost when I was 12 years old just because I had to go to church every Sunday. One Sunday I was there, and the Holy Ghost moved on all the children. It's amazing how God does that at times. We've seen it in here, but where you look up, I remember one time in Midland, Texas. We had a service, and the Spirit of God started moving, but I started looking around, and I noticed that none of the adults were really getting a touch. Remember that, Brother Durham? And we started looking around, and every one of our kids were bawling, tears running down their faces, and this Holy Ghost was on them. We just started gathering them up and got them all up front. I think five of them got the Holy Ghost that morning. And God just does that sometimes. Just blesses and puts mercy on the children because of mother and fathers that have been faithful to Him. And they've prayed for their children. And God, it obligates God. See, not everybody's been obligated God. God's not obligated to everybody in this world. He'd like to touch everybody. It's not His will that any perish, but He has to have a way to get to people. And He does that through other people. But it still comes down to you working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And God dealing with you. You know, you can, and it finally gets to a place where this is not happening to me because of mom and dad anymore. This is God's finally requiring something of me. when you hit that place of separation where God said, it ain't your mom and dad's conviction, so you're not the only, you don't have to be there because of mom and dad anymore. I'm lifting that off of you, and I want to watch you. I want to see where you're at in this. Where's your understanding? What is your convictions? I know I've went through some places in my life even after I made deep dedications to God where I couldn't feel Him. There was reasons for it. I was going through something, and my mind wasn't right. My mindset wasn't right towards God. My mind was on me. My mind was on my pleasures of life, things that I wanted to do, and I was wrestling with whether or not I wanted to do like Moses. You know, Moses, you know what the Scripture says? Let's get that Scripture just so that you don't think I'm making it up. It's in the 11th chapter, isn't it, of Hebrews? what verse is it? 23, by faith, Moses, 23 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. But by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. See, he knew that he was of the people of God. And he could have went the way of Pharaoh. He could have done anything that Pharaoh, and he had access to all of the riches of the king's house. But there was something tugging at his heart. I don't know, you know, I can tell you from my own experience, the times that I've been going through dry seasons, I've asked God, God, touch me and deal with me. Don't let me fall away. I know what the world is. I know what the scars there are that you're going to get out there. And I know not to go that way. But if I don't have your help, God, I in other words, I know I need it right now. I'm in trouble. I believe that's how you are to pray. I think you are to say, God, don't let me go. And there's some things you can do. One of the things I did, I can tell you right now, it's one of the best instructions I know to give people, is I don't care what you're going through. When it's time for church, hit that door back there. If you want to make it, you quit coming, I can guarantee you, you won't make it. You will not make it. I don't care how dry or what you're going through, if you'll come in that door, make yourself do that, I'll promise you there'll be a time that God will, you'll come in here, and whatever you're going through, God will touch you and lift you up out of that. I can guarantee that. He'll honor your willingness to say, God, I know I got to go, and I know I need your help, but I don't know what to do beyond that. He'll honor that. I can guarantee it. I've been there. I've done that. All right, here, verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He, in esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches, than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So, he chose to suffer with the children of God rather than to live in sin for a season or enjoy the pleasures. That tells you something. There is some pleasure in sin. There's a pleasure in doing your own will. But if you know God's got a call on your life, here's something I can tell you too. He'll never leave you. If you're God's child, he'll never quit dealing with you. He'll never forsake you. And you will have to answer to him. Now you can turn God away every time he deals with you often enough that he'll leave you alone for a while. But remember, he loves you and he's going to try to save you. So he may let you go and let you get into condition to where he sees that you'll call out to him and help him. But if you don't, he may put you in a condition to try to save you, because he's obligated to you because you're his child. So we were talking about some of this morning in Bible study, we were talking on perfection, what it is, what the Bible definition of perfection is. But we, in working on that, we began to talk about faith. You know, this is a walk by faith, and a lot of people misconstrue faith, thinking that just what you believe is faith, and what you believe might not be faith in the true Word of God. You need to know the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When, you know, it's one, I've had people say, I believe that you just need to do good best you can and you'll be all right. They call that faith. That's not faith. That's a false belief. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and there's just one faith. It's the faith that was in the teachings of Christ and in the apostles' doctrine. That's why when you look at the picture of the tabernacle and all of the furniture of the tabernacle's outer court and the holy place and the Holy of Holies, there's pictures in there that are types of God's plan of salvation. The holy place. When the priest went in the holy place, there was a candlestick in there with seven candles, seven lights that represents the seven spirits of God. That's in the fourth and fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. John reveals that those candlesticks are that the candlestick is the seven lights, or the seven spirits of God, and There's a sevenfold light in that. That light is understanding. And for us to have what the New Testament church had, we're going to have to get in a parallel place. We're going to have to get in the place that the early church was in. You'll never understand the plan of God if you don't know that the church fell away after God came by Jesus Christ to the New Testament church on the day of Pentecost. Christ finished his work on the cross and he promised his disciples, "I'll come again." And he did on the day of Pentecost. And he manifested, he came in them through the Holy Ghost. He prayed to the Father in the 17th chapter. He said, "They are thine and what's thine is mine. You gave them to me." And he said, I'm giving them life. You gave me life that I might give it to them. And so he came back there to give them what he had, to reconcile them to God so that they might have the fullness. So they had a measure of God under the law, but they couldn't get the fullness of God without Christ. They couldn't be born again under the old covenant, but under the new covenant, they were born again on the day of Pentecost, and that was the message: to repent, be baptized, and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or the birth of the Spirit, to be born of God. a lot of churches teach that happens when you repent. That's not true. The birth of the Spirit is when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's when you're born of God. And you must be born again. It's important that you be born of God's Spirit and His nature. You've been born of Adam, and you must be born of God if you're going to be reconciled to God and have that inner man or that new nature to grow up in or be perfected in. That's what the word perfection means. It means maturity. Develop to a complete state. Like Paul said in Ephesians 4, till we all come to the unity of faith, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, of the man Christ Jesus. We're to grow to that place. Look at that verse. I know it's our cardinal chapter, but it's important that we hook onto that enough that we really get it. In the 12th verse of Ephesians 4, for the perfecting of the saints, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till. See, there's a job that's to be done, and there's a finishing of it. God does this until you reach a certain place. It's to accomplish this place. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. In verse 5, it said there's one Lord and one faith. See? I just think, you know, when people ask you what faith you are of, your answer always ought to be there's only one faith. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Unto the measure. He identifies what that perfect man is here. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. See, we're not only to get fitted together as a body of believers, the body of Christ. That's why I'm telling you, saints, everybody out here that's saying that they're a part of the body are not part of the body. All these different organizations aren't part of the body of Christ. If they're not connected, if they're not fitted together, look at the New Testament church. The New Testament church had 12 apostles. And then the apostle Paul, which was the 12 apostles sanctified or sanctioned and recognized as the apostle to the Gentiles, those men were connected together. When Paul was out preaching to the Gentiles, and there came up a stir, you know, that the Gentiles need to be circumcised. You gotta understand, they were moving from this understanding of the law of Moses into a new testament, a new era, a new covenant that fulfilled that old covenant. But they were still trying to get all that fitted into their minds and in their understanding. And, you know, they had a lot of things. Even Peter, after the day of Pentecost, when he was up on Simon's house, up on top of the roof, praying to God, and the sheet came down, and Jesus started talking to him. Told him, don't you call unclean. But he told him, when he told him to eat those unclean animals, he said there was never any unclean thing here. So Peter was still holding the law of Moses in the dietary law. But God, the Lord had to help him understand. That's been fulfilled. There was a purpose for that until Christ came. God didn't want them. He didn't want them just bringing anything in among the Jews. He had a law and an order under the law of Moses. He had an order that they were to work in. But Jesus was showing that time's over with. I'm showing you something new. That what the law accomplished in the keeping of it naturally is fulfilled in the spiritual. And also those dietary laws helped us to understand there's certain things God don't want in our lives. He don't want you eating just anything that's set before you. I'm talking about in your spirit. He didn't want you just take anything into your spirit or anything into your life, but it needs to be righteous, and you need to be able to discern right from wrong. But but we're to be fitly joined together and even compacted. You know, in other words, that early church, they were all connected to that ministry back there. Every church you read about in the New Testament was connected to those 12 apostles or Paul. Now, all these churches today aren't connected that way. But if we're going to have a church, and I can tell you it's biblical that he's going to gather his people together in one body again. You read the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation, and there's a call going to go forth to come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins. There's a harlot system forming out here. There is a beast system that's coming together, and God's people are going to get imprisoned in that. They're going to get gathered in that. You know, I know that we have an understanding that the Reformation come out of, and God moved, started restoring the church, and he brought the Reformation out of the Catholic Church. You know, Protestantism came out of Catholicism. It became because of Catholicism. But Catholicism, the word Catholic means unified. It means The reason they used that word is because their belief was there were to be one body. There just to be one body of believers. They may have missed it as far as not getting the order, the spirit, and the doctrine of it, but they had that part right, that there was to be one, but they enforced it. It wasn't that this is a voluntary humility, that I'm coming into the family of God because the Spirit of God has brought me here. But they did understand that there was just one body in the early church. And that is a different understanding from different organizations that think that we can have, you know, here's what Isaiah said in Isaiah 4. He said, one man in that day, he said, one man will take seven women. They'll say, let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. That's going to happen. That seven's the number of completeness. The whole system out here is going to take one day. Seven women are going to take a hold of one man. I know that's the Pope of Rome, because I know what prophecy says. I can pretty well tell you the way I see it. Right now, America, not only America, the world is in a religious war. Whether you recognize that yet or not, there's a religious war taking place in this world between the Muslims and the Christians. This Al-Qaeda movement, they still believe that Christians are infidels and that they've got to be overcome and the world has got to be one for Islam, for Allah, the God of Muhammad. And if you go back and study, you'll see that the crusades of Muhammadism was to destroy Christianity. They've never lost that. That they may have been suppressed to a point they couldn't operate, but there's a big part of the Arab world that still has that religion and that belief. And this Al-Qaeda movement is that's coming on this world is putting pressure on Christian nations. And of course, America's a leader right now, a superpower of this world. The whole world looks to America. America's is a light to the world, a natural light. The Bible will show that. Egypt was a light to the world in its day. Babylon was a light to the world in its day. But when God put their lights out, when he took them out of power, he put the lights out. Well, I can see America right now trying to bring peace to the whole world. And where we're having trouble is with all of this Al-Qaeda movement, all of this onslaught of the Muslim belief coming against. They're not coming against. Well, they even fight among themselves, some, but their main purpose is to destroy. They hate America. And America's going to have to get help from all other nations that are either Christian nations or they may not be so much Christian nations, but they're not Muslim nations. They'll get on board. But they'll realize that they're going to have the Pope to bring it together. He's a powerful. There's not a man that's more powerful than that man in the world, as far as the world is concerned. They'll put together a man-made religious system that they'll say it's one body coming back together. Seven women will take a hold of one man, saying to take away our reproach. Put that scripture back up for me, if you would, Brother Painter. The reproach is that we separated. We pulled away. we've had divisions among us. But they'll say we're getting unity. We're coming back together. And we'll eat our own bread. They'll compromise and say you can have all, each one of your groups can have your own doctrine. You can believe what you believe. You can stay not only eat your own bread, but wear your own apparel. Have your organizational covering and have your own doctrine, but come together under one headship of the compromise. And let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. That is that we've been divided and separated all this time. And when they get that done, they'll cry peace and safety. But remember, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction will come. God will judge that because they're going to leave God out of this. They're going to do this in the name of man and man's wisdom. And God will judge that. I'm trying to tell you something about us being fitly joined together in Christ with God's people. See, that happened back there in the early church. If you look back there, you'll see where Rome gave power to Judaism. And that's how Judaism persecuted the movement of Christianity. The body of Christ was under severe persecution because it was causing people to leave Judaism and find life in God and God's purpose, and that was destroying their system. It'd have been good, wouldn't it, if they could have just said, "Hey, we've got it. We've had it wrong, and the Lord has come to help us and to correct where we missed it." Wouldn't that have been something? And of course, they tried to protect what was theirs, although it wasn't theirs; it was God's that they were possessing. But the body of Christ in that day, when you found the freedom of serving Christ to get free from sin and the ways of the flesh, the corruption that was in man, when they really found Christ and the liberty to serve Him and be freed from sin and the condition that sin had brought on the world and in the lives of every man and woman and child, and to have a hope of righteousness, that God will deliver me from this corruptible seed that I've been born of. My God, what a vision. What a revelation that God can give you, that He can lift you up out of the pit and out of the condition that sin is holding the world in. God give you a revelation that you can. There is a hope. There is a faith. There is a knowledge. And that's what faith is. When you believe what the Word of God says. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. And how shall they hear except there be a preacher? Except there be a... And look, that's a gift. It's not just some man deciding he wants to tell you something. But it's a gift of God that works in men that God has chosen, that when they speak, that the Holy Ghost quickens it. The words. It's an operation of the Holy Ghost. They may just get up and start talking, but in a little while, you can feel God's, a gift of God go to work. And when they speak, the words that are quickened by the Holy Ghost, and they pierce your heart and your soul. And you hear with your ears with an affirmation from the Holy Ghost that I've heard from God. God has talked to my heart. Preachers, when they talk, they don't know what you're getting out of it. They don't know what you're receiving. But you know. If God touches you, you know. Something happens. You've been quickened of God. And when you respond to that, in faith. You know that God dealt with you. You know that God imparted a certain instruction or information or understanding that you know is of God. And you begin to associate that in your thinking of, I have to live this. This is right. It's what God wants out of my life. It's just like, you know, I know I've had people, a lot of times they have places of confusion where they say, look, I've been believing God for this, and it's not going to happen. I've decided it ain't going to happen. Well, all you've done is come to a place of realizing that what you're asking God to do, He's not going to do. It don't fit in His will. So accept His will. Quit asking God to do something that He's not going to do. Or, perhaps He may do it. You just lost hope. Just put it up before God. And be content to wait on His time. You can still have faith. You can have hope in something you don't know. But like I said this morning, when Paul prayed three times, God removed this thorn in my flesh. He must have stayed after God until God answered him. And the Lord did answer him, and He said, I'm not going to remove that. I put that there to keep you from getting exalted. I put that there to help you. And I'm not going to remove it. Well, when he found out why it was there, he accepted it. He quit asking God to remove it. In fact, I'm sure he began to glorify God and thank God that he loved him enough that he put something in his life that would keep him from falling and keep him from going off into error. And that's how we have to be. You can't just go off here asking God for anything you want. But you've got to put it before God this way. Lord, if it's in your will. Jesus even, you know, he knew it was God's will, but when it came right down to he seeing, they're fixing to hang me on that cross. That night that he spent in prayer and prayed, as it were, great drops of blood. My God, don't you want what Jesus had? Don't you want a relationship with God where you know enough about God that you desire to do His will? I'd hate to be in a condition where I just wanted to do my will and I was going to leave God out of it. I don't want to get in that condition. I'm telling you, you can get in that condition if you get your thinking, if you get started off in the wrong direction and continue to pursue your own desires. Look, if this God, well, of course, I mean, this is foolish for me to even say, but, you know, I mean, what are we doing here if there's not a God in heaven and He doesn't have a purpose? And if I don't fit in it, then what is this all about? You see, that to me, that's futile. That's foolish. That's foolish. So, keep, you know, we sing that song, I got to keep praying. I got to keep pressing. I got to keep striving to make the goal. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I can't give up. I don't go by feelings. Somebody told me the other day, he was talking to another minister, and he said, I can't preach what you're preaching because he said it don't feel good. He said, when I'm preaching it the way I'm preaching, it feels good. I said, well, it don't go by feeling. We aren't going by feelings in this unless we know what we're feeling is of God. But I'll put the Word of God up against my feelings any day. The Word of God shows something and I'm feeling something different, then I'll go with the Word of God and chunk my feelings. My feelings will change after a while if I rely enough on the Word of God, because the Spirit of God will quicken to me that the Word of God is right. And I was telling somebody just the other day, I said, here, look. God knows where you are. He knows what you believe. He knows what your convictions are. I had a brother by the name of Brother Stevens. He was an old brother in his 80s in Winters, Texas, when we had the church in Winters. And he got a Social Security check one day, and the last three digits on the check number was 666. He said, I ain't cashing this. He said, I am not cashing this. He called Social Security Administration, I want another check. He said, I'm a child of God. And he said, the Bible said man's number 666, and there's a mark of the beast coming. I don't know exactly how it's all going to work, but he said, I can't take no chance on this. He said, you get me another check down there. I said, we ain't giving you another check. You got your check, cash it. He said, I ain't cashing the thing. I'll tear it up before I cash it. Well, he carried that thing around and talked to me about it. I didn't try to take that away from him, because if he would have cashed that check, he'd have smote his heart. He'd have smote his convictions in God and his faith in God. His faith was wrong, but he was believing in God. But God will honor that. If he knows that your heart is to hold on to God, and you may not have it understood completely, but he was holding on to all what he knew about that 666. And if he'd have cashed that, he'd have felt like he sinned. And God sees that, and God honors that. It doesn't mean that you don't need to grow past that, or that you're not in error, but he was doing all he knew to do to hold on to God in what he believed. And he knew there was something about that 666, and he was afraid that he might be going to take a mark of the beast, and he wasn't about to do that. And he never did cash that check. And they never did give him his money. I think he finally tore the thing up and threw it in the trash. And he just said, I am not cashing that check. Well, if he would have been 27 instead of 87, I'd have set him down and tried to tell him what the mark of the beast was. But I knew he wasn't going to receive it. You know, he wasn't in a place where he could change. And so I didn't try to force a change on him. I'm beginning more and more. I think God's helping me to have some more wisdom, where I'm beginning to realize there's people that, even though you see that they're caught up in a realm of where they're at in God and you can't change them, the best thing to do is leave them alone. God's got to change them. If God quickens something to their minds, you know, and they get hungry enough, if you throw out a little corn, they don't eat it. There ain't no sense in pouring the bag out. They're not going to eat it either. So just, you know, just let them keep chewing on what they've been chewing on. If they like it, well, let them keep eating it. But, you know, they'll have to. Some people won't eat something new. If they would, they'd say, this is pretty good, you know. But not everybody's willing to eat something new. Not everybody can. Oh, God. Look, God's working on your life, and he's working on my life. Just like that song said, if he hung the moon, I know he'll help you. If you're his child and God loves you, he's gonna try to save you. But you do have to respond to him, and you can carry a lot of baggage if you're not careful. If you don't respond to it, and you go your own way and do your own thing, there is a price to pay. You'll have to get all of that out of your, you know, what's the word I need right there? You have to get all that out of your relationship with him. You'll have to cull a lot of things, and it takes time to do that. What I'm saying is, you can save yourself a lot of trouble if you'll stay hooked up. And when you run into trouble, just ask him, God, help me. I need your help right now. I know I can testify this to you. I've been in this way quite a while, and I can tell you, there's times that you're in no man's land, and you don't know which way to go. But if you just be honest with God and tell Him that, you say, I'm in trouble, and I need your help. Hold on to me. I don't have a tight enough grip, but hold on to me. But if you'll make some commitments, like I can tell you one of the things that I found is that if I made myself come to church, He finally came to me. He finally met my need. He finally lifted me up. Sometimes you'll just spend some time going through some certain phases with your walk with God. But if you'll hold on to Him, and if you'll do something so that you won't, and the main thing I think you can do is get here. Make yourself available. That's one of the things I never did have done. I've never shut my heart off to God, and I never did quit coming. If you ever do either one of them, you're sunk. Praise God. All right, they're telling me dinner's ready downstairs. I'm really just getting my mind in a place where I'd like to preach, but I'm a slow starter, I'll admit that. Brother William, sure good to have you with us today. I think he's here on training, but he could have just passed us by. But it does my heart good. I think you're associate pastor somewhere, aren't you? From Houston, Texas. I graduated in Deer Park. My wife's from South Houston. And so we've got some ties, that links us together. We've got a good church down there, too, in Humble, Texas. Well, several churches around that area that's connected to us. We have a minister's meeting here November the 12th. We'd invite you to, if you could get back up here and your pastor. We're interested in what God's doing, and we're interested in God's people getting closer together in this being fitted together and compacted, where every joint supplieth according to the working of every part. So we've got a part. You've got a part. You're to fit in this somewhere. And there's a part. You're hooked to a joint. Just look at your body. It's made up of joints. If you're not in the head, the ears, eyes, nose, and mouth, that's the eyes is the prophets, the ears is the teacher, the mouth is the pastor, the nose is the evangelist, and the brains of this outfit is Jesus, by the way. He covers the apostolic feeling for the whole body. That's what apostles do, the feeling. Now, if you're not in the head part of it and the shoulders, then, there's another joint. There's a right arm, a right hand. Wouldn't you like for Jesus to say, here's my right hand. It's part of my right arm. Or if I can't be part of the right arm, I'd like to be part of the left arm. That's part of the body, and it's an assist. You can move around. This is one thing about it. This arm here, no part or member in that can get over here in this part. But in the body of Christ, you can change parts. God can move you around wherever He needs you. He'll finally get you fitted in the right place. It's like you can start out in this a hog and wind up a sheep. God's able to change him. But your joints, there's joints in this. And you fit in it somewhere. Find your place. Find your job. Brother Brett was talking to us about, he knew that he wasn't called to be a preacher behind the pulpit. He said, that just don't fit for me. But he said, I know I got a part. And I'm trying to fulfill. I'm trying to feel on God. Talking about this young man that got injured on a motorcycle, and Brett, he's always got a feeling Well, I'm watching him in that. I don't have that same feeling, but I'm watching that because God may be in that some way. As this thing moves on, we might see how God uses people in different areas that he gets them involved in that's going to bring God's people in this body. So I'm being careful about how I just shut my mind to everything. I'm trying to open up my heart and watch and look. As long as I don't see it bringing danger to the church or to you, I'm just going to hush a while and watch and see what God's going to do. He's a big project we got going on here. Hallelujah. Y'all hungry? You want me to hush? My little mama, she used to sit back there. I heard her one day. She said, I wish Mickey would hush. Don't he know he's talked long enough? Well, that wasn't as bad as what he said about somebody, one of you other brothers. I heard her. She said, he's giving me the heebie-jeebies. I wish he'd hush. Or she know you got to give her some space. She grew up out there, and she's not afraid of y'all as I am. All right. Let me say something here. We've got this meeting coming up in November, and we're going to have to. There's some things we've got to do. We're going to have several work days between now and then, and we're going to have some more money to do it with. We need some pledges from y'all. So would you be thinking about how much you're going to give, Brother John? 100? Could you give 5? I'm not going to hold every. We're not going to finish this today because we're fixing to go eat. But I just wonder if we could just get some quick pledges. People knows what I'm willing to give. And Sister and Lynette, write this down. Don't write John's down yet. He may get under conviction to give more than 100. Don't write that down. Put me down for 500. I'll just start it off. We need, how much, Brother Painter? 500, Brother Painter. 500, Brother Durham. Look at Brother John. He come up with it. Oh, I almost want to run back there and kiss you. What'd you say, Sister Michelle? Did you say you was going to give another 5? What'd you say? Oh, you was giving him some advice. Well, I'm sure he needed that. All right, now, we're going to eat, so I ain't got a long time, but if you know right now what you're going to give, well, if you let us know, we'll get that down, and then we'll work on some more of this a little bit later. Anybody else? You're not required to give 5. I mean, you can give more or less. Yes. We need it by November the 1st. Okay? You've got till November the 1st to pay it. You don't have to give it all today. But we do need it by then. You know. So, anybody? Brother McGowan, 200? 250? All right. Go ahead, Sister. Look at Sister Inez. She's going to give 500. You did just mean 100, didn't you? Not 1,000. 500? She could give. They don't tell how much she could give. And she's liable to do it. You know, she's liable to get under conviction, just go ahead and bite the bullet. But anyway, put her down for 500. I kid her quite a bit. 400, Brother Zach. God bless your heart, Brother Zach. I kid Sister Inez a lot, but Brother Dodson's got 300. But I ain't taking it all. I ain't taking back what I'm saying. She's got more money than y'all know about. I guarantee it. She hoards money. I just know it. I can feel it. All right, brother and Sister Bryant, 200. I guarantee it. Sister McGowan, put her down for $250. All right. Some of you need some more time to think about it. Brother Tally, $200. Put him down for $200. Brother Keith, $300. Look, he even shook him loose there a little bit. He's another one that hoards money, I think. I don't even know if Brother Dodson knows how much money Keith has. Brother Matt, $250. Brother Matt. All right. Brother Jaron, $100. All right, he's still on the part-time payroll. If they put him on full-time before November, you're going to bump it a little. There you go. That's my kind of guy. All right. I'll check my deal. I'll see if I could give a little bit more. It's been a bad year for me. I've had a lot of unexpectations hit. But I'm still know the Lord blesses those who's able to give to Him. All right. Sister Jody's giving $500. All right. Don't tell them what Jeff will give for it's over with, is it? All right. Some of you may need a little bit more time to see what the, you know, I kind of sprung it on you, but what do you got total there so far? I think y'all need to know what we're taking in. I'll tell you what we spend it on, too. I'm not going to hide it from you. I promise you, we're going to need all we can come up with. One of the things is our parking lot, huh? A little over $5,000 so far. All right. Well, I should have done this some time back. I don't know why. I just couldn't feel it. I just couldn't feel, you know. Y'all are such, really, I'm honest about this. I love y'all. This is a wonderful church, and you're just so good about everything. I just hate to fleece the sheep more than you have to be fleeced. I've just put it off because I know we needed to do it, but I just, you know, was waiting on a time. All right, let's stand and pray. You still have some time. We'll open it back up when you have more time to think about it. Ask God to bless the food downstairs. If you're here and we'd like for you to eat with us, if you can stay and eat with us, well, we want you to. All right. God, bless the food. Bless our fellowship. Oh, God, bless your people. Help them, Lord. Oh, God, direct our steps. Lead us and guide us in your will. Oh, Lord, we love you and appreciate you and your goodness to us. Help us, oh, God, to respond to you in every way that we can of what you're asking of us, Lord. Bless the food, each one, oh God. Touch each one that couldn't be here today, Lord. Watch over them, protect them, and cover them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. God bless you. Now, we're not having church tonight at 5, Brother Steve.